Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
As the Nationals are a strike away from franchise history and some World Series history. Swing and a miss! Swing and a miss! Swing and a miss! And a World Series Game 7 winning Curly W is in the books!
It's not a dream! It's not a desert mirage! It's Lord Stanley, and he is coming to Washington!
Oh, great crossover.
Got
him. Just left Fournier.
That's called getting put on skates.
Down to two, down to one, and the Washington football team with the upset in Pittsburgh, handing the Steelers their first loss of the season, coming back from 14-0 down. What a win.
The show by the fans for the fans. Covering all four major sports in the District of Champions. It's the DC Crossover Podcast with your hosts, Mike Cerrone and Ben Simpson.
Hello and welcome to another episode of DC Crossover, episode number 116. I am Ben Simpson, that is Mike Cerrone, and we are glad to be here yet again for the off season as the show rolls on without, you know, we talk about this a few weeks back that with no DC teams playing in the Stanley Cup or finals or NBA finals or things like that, the only DC sports thing going on right now is the Washington Nationals, who stink. So that's why we're doing the off season, where we'll mix in some other topics. We got some food topics today. Last week we did one of our first drafts of the summer. The Disney Pixar animated movie draft. We're going to be rotating those in probably every other episode or so. So there should be a draft next week. We'll let you know what that's going to be when it's time to do it. But
got some good feedback.
Yeah, it's about getting the people talking, Mike. And the people were definitely talking about Disney Pixar animated movie draft. So if you didn't check out that episode, go back and listen to it. Follow the show on Twitter at the DC Crossover and at Cerrone16. Follow the TikTok DC Crossover podcast. And that's really pretty much it as far as where to find the show.
So I ended up putting a poll on TikTok.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And it did get in the double digits for votes.
Wow, that's more than we get on Twitter. We don't get that much traction on Twitter, so I'll take it.
I think Twitter, going into social media talk, I think Twitter is kind of going out. I mean, Twitter is more so for just like rants and stuff like that. People don't go on there for fun. They go on there because they're pissed, or they go on there because they want to see someone else be pissed for them, or whatever it may be. But that's what I'm saying, is like TikTok, man, TikTok is where it's at, because I literally put a poll on there. Now, I would say it's unofficial, because we did have extracurricular, you know, votes for when it comes down to our movie thing, because I had a lot of people texting me about you know, the picture that I sent out and stuff like that.
Right.
That are not on TikTok. But for TikTok, we did have let's see here. I think we had about, hold on one sec. Let's see. I think we had, let's click on it. We had 19 votes.
Oh,
19.
Wow. Okay.
I'll 19 votes, which is not bad. Not bad for, you know, I only think we put it up there like 2 days ago.
Right.
And 19 votes, and you had 10, and I had 9.
Nice. I mean, it was close. Yeah. Everything we were hearing from people, and that's the funny thing, when you're doing a draft with just two people, like, it's going to be pretty close a lot of the time, and I feel like it usually is with us. Now, we do want to definitely work in maybe a third, like a special guest and things like that for some of the drafts, and I think we have some of those possible plans in the works for some future drafts, because it would be nice to get a third person in there to eliminate some of the possible options and things like that, and it could get interesting. But for now, Mike and I just put together powerhouse teams. I mean, that's what that's really what
we need. We need to add somebody in there, man. We need to add like a special guest here or there. And I know we've talked about it, but we need to add somebody in there, just like you said.
Yeah.
And if we add somebody in there, then it kind of mixes it up, because then we don't get, you know, Lion King in the third round or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
It's like getting Bryce Harper in the third round. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. We're going to definitely, and we've talked about it. So, you know, look forward for that for the future. Again, this offseason stuff is going to be going for the next few months. So we'll definitely be having some more drafts ahead. A lot to do with that. And we have a very fun show planned out today. A lot of food talk coming later. But we are going to just go ahead and hit the rewind machine right off the bat, give you a quick look back at the previous week in D.C. sports, and not a lot to talk about here because it's basically all Washington Nationals. The current record now 23-39, last place in the NL East. Tuesday, loss to the Marlins 12-2. Jazz Chisholm, my boy, I remember saying on the show like 2 years ago, watch out for Jazz Chisholm. He's electric. Two bombs, including a grand slam, six RBI in this one. Yoana Doan gives up 8 earned runs in 3 innings. Again, this guy was not supposed to be in the bigs. He's in the bigs, and he's just struggling. Wednesday, lost to the Marlins 2-1 in 10 innings. Sandy Alcantara, another stud on that Marlins team, throws 9 scoreless innings. Jesus Aguilar hits the game-winning single. Thursday, Nats lose to the Marlins again. A rough series, 7-4. Strauss did return. We did have the return of Steven Strasburg, who gave up 7 earned runs in 4 2/3. And now, as the news broke today, he's getting another MRI and likely will be shut down again. I mean, that's what it's looking like. Friday, the Nets did beat the Brewers 11-5. Josh Bell and Keibert Ruiz go back-to-back. Fetty throws a good game, 5 2/3, allows 3 earned runs. Saturday, beat the Brewers again. And a fun one in this one, Soto, Cruz, and Bell back-to-back-to-back home runs. Reminds me of the game of that 2019 season where the Nats hit 4 home runs in a row, I believe. You had like Turner and Rendon. All those guys all hit bombs. It was awesome. Yeah. Patrick Corbin throws six innings, allows 4 earned runs. Not a bad day for him. And then Sunday, lost to the Brewers 4-1 in a close one for most of the game. And then not much else. I mean, DC United, again, their next game will be this Saturday against Chicago. But besides that, and then there is talk about, of course, Terry McLaurin holding out, wants that money, as he should. He should get that money. He deserves it. I mean, he is like the only electric player on this team at this point. So it's like, let's sign. You know, got to sign that man. You got to give him some money. So we'll see what happens there. Are you? Because some people. So when you hear these stories of like guys like holding out and like sitting out and stuff. I feel like there is a contingent of people, and it's mainly just idiots on Twitter or, I mean, it depends on how you think about this, I guess, if you're an idiot or not, but, you know, who like get mad at players for doing that, who are like, hey, you're, you know, you should be out there busting your butt, you know, instead of sitting on the sideline, waiting to get a higher paycheck, stuff like that. What do you think when news comes out and guys are like, taking a seat and not participating in some of this? I mean, obviously it's way early here in the summertime, but still, this is a story. This is one of the few stories we have in football right now.
Right. The biggest thing that I look at when it comes to people sitting out is it's a different type of business than every other type of workplace. Because every type of workplace, if I don't show up to school, then they're like, all right, we'll just take off your leave and then you get fired.
Right.
You know,
right.
if you don't show up to work, they're going to say, Ben, where you been?
I don't know. I don't know if they would be like, you didn't even know this guy worked here.
I mean, we're paying him. Yeah. It's like the office space when they put Milton down in the boiler room.
That's me. My stapler.
But that's the thing is, it's a different type of business, and people look at it as it's another type of work job. It's like you're working construction or you're working, you know, an office job or whatever. It's not the same. It's different because you're under contract and they can't fire you for sitting out.
Right.
Like you have contingencies in your contract, things you have to show up for, things you don't have to show up for that are voluntary, different things of that nature, to the point where I'm on the camp, or I'm more so on the fence for the most part, because yes, I believe you should show up to work. You have a contract. I believe that, you know, you're obligated to go to that that workplace. You're obligated to go to that team. But I also believe in the same aspect, they have these contingencies, like I said, in their contract where they don't have to show up to there. If they are a Pro Bowler and they're getting paid nubs money, why do they have to show up? Now, like I said, on the fence, because I still believe in the work ethic type of mentality where you have to show up for work and different things like that. But I also show up, or I also believe in the sole fact that you have to go into a contract status or go into a contract signing knowing what you're obligated to do and what you're not obligated to do. And going into these trainings and these camps and different things like that, if Terry McLaurin wants to be around and not participate and get injured or something like that, fine by me. Do that. As long as you're with the team, that's all that matters. Now, certain players, when they go and sit in Florida or something like that, when they're, you know, they're playing for the, I don't know, playing for the Falcons or something like that, when they're in a whole different state or a whole different, you know, area of the country, that's what I have a problem with, because I believe they should be around the team, because right, that's more so of a selfish thing, in my opinion. But if you're working out, if you're doing things to keep yourself in shape and different things like that, rather than just, you know, not showing up and going doing whatever you want to do, then that's okay with me. But at the same time, when it comes down to like someone like Terry McLaurin, who everyone knows he's a team player, he's this, he's that, all these great things that surround him, I don't really have a problem with it, because this is on the team that screwed up a lot of different things. So they have to go out there, they have to find a way to sign him to a deal that's, I guess you could say, workable for both sides, and acceptable for both sides, and try to, you know, work something out, because this guy has been a team player since he got here. He was a third round pick. He's made his you know, presence known, and he's put his stamp on this city. So I believe that in general, I'm on the fence when it comes to both sides of should I show up or should I don't, to hold out. But at the same time, in this case, I believe that he's done enough to warrant maybe sitting out for a little while just to get that new contract, so he stays healthy and makes sure that he is he's ready to go for the season.
The mini camp kicks off tomorrow and runs through Thursday. If he misses all 3 days, he could be fined up to $93,000. And again, they're working on that contract, because right now he's entering his fourth and final year of his rookie deal. $2.79 million base salary. Obviously,
way low.
Getting a quite a deal on that.
I think the highest right now is like $21 million or something.
Yeah, something like that. So this is well below market value.
Now, question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think that he should get probably... do you think that Terry McLaurin should get close to $20 million?
Yeah, I think he should. He deserves, I mean, as much as you can give him at this point. I feel like, I feel like he's that type of player. I mean, 100.
Because you should go down the list. Like, right, go down the list of the guys that are getting paid the most money. Like, and that's the biggest thing, is when you're comparing some of these players, the biggest thing is he as good as this player? Is he as good as that player? Because, I mean, when you're looking at the salaries, it's kind of funny to me, because some of these players obviously are making tons of money, but he's not producing as much as those type of guys.
Yeah, here's some names. You know, obviously the guy getting the most per year is Tyreek Hill, $30 million, right, and then underneath him you got Devontae Adams at 28, DeAndre Hopkins 27.2, Cooper Kupp 26.7, AJ Brown 25. Stephon Diggs 24, and then you get down to like the 20. So DJ Moore 20.6, Keenan Allen 20, Mike Williams 20, Amari Cooper 20, Godwin 20.
Sweet spot, $21 million, dude. Sweet spot, $21 million. That means you're under Stephon Diggs, you're under Cooper Kupp, Hopkins, all that. Now AJ Brown, I think he's way overpaid, in my opinion.
Yeah, 100%.
I think he gets hurt way too much, stuff like that. But you're looking at Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen's a pretty damn good receiver. Mike Williams, they overpaid him a lot, let's be honest here. $25,000 is the difference between Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. That's terrible. Amari Cooper, eh. Chris Godwin, he's a number two receiver, let's be honest here. But you're looking at it and just saying, in this sense, 21.5 is probably the sweet spot.
Right, yeah. I agree. I mean, he's definitely better than Kenny Galladay and Christian Kirk, Michael Thomas, Brandon Cooks. Yep. I mean, he's in a higher class than those guys, and I think he is in that DJ Moore, Keenan Allen class, like you're saying. I think that's where he is. He's not quite at DeAndre Hopkins level yet. Mm-hmm. Could he get there? For sure. I mean, you know, but right now, yeah, he's not there. I guess my only thing with this that I feel like it's not that big of a deal because it's 3 days, but I do worry a little bit about building chemistry with Wentz and like missing out on an opportunity to do that. Now, if he's still there, I don't know how this all works. I don't know if he's just going to show up and not do anything or if he's just going to not show up entirely. I guess we won't really know till tomorrow. But, you know, if he's still there and he's not working, obviously he'll still be able to connect with Carson and talk and all that sort of stuff. And but I guess the argument that on the other side of that is McLaurin has here's a list of all the quarterbacks McLaurin's had to catch passes from for the last 3 years and still put up crazy numbers. Heineke, Garrett Gilbert, Dwayne Haskins, Kyle Allen, Case Keenum, and Colt McCoy. I mean, so he, it's not like...
Timing's not a huge thing with him right now.
Right. So, yeah, I don't think this is going to be a huge deal. I think this is going to be a talking point on, like, local radio for right now because there's nothing else to talk about. But, yeah, we'll see what happens there. Definitely.
But you're looking at him. I mean, I don't know exactly what age he is. I believe he's, like, 25, 26, somewhere in the middle there. He didn't get drafted too long ago, and he wasn't that old.
2019 draft. How old is he right now? He is age. Where's age? 26.
26. Okay, I thought it was mid-20s. So that's the biggest thing. You're looking at other mid-20-year-olds. DJ Moore, 20.6. AJ Brown, 25 even. So you're looking at it right there. AJ Brown, like we said, overpaid.
AJ Brown, man, got the bag.
Unbelievable.
I mean, that's just nuts.
I mean, like I said, for a guy that gets hurt all the time, it's hilarious. And honestly, I think when you're looking at the whole entire situation with the Titans, I bet the Titans were like, this guy gets hurt way too much. Like, yeah. Let's put the reset button on that. But at the same time, you're looking at it and saying, he's better than some of these guys. Now, a guy like, for instance, Mike Evans is really good, 16.5. Mm-hmm. Kenny Galladay was good in the Lions, and then all of a sudden he went to the Giants and sucked. But you're looking at some of these players that are getting paid a certain amount of money. I think he's that type of player that would give you a slight discount just to build around him. But also, he's going to get, you know, what he deserves. And if he can get top 10 money, now he's not going to get Tyreek Hill money. He's not going to get Davante Adams, nor is he those type of players. But, you know, you're looking at a Cooper Kupp. He's entering his season. He's about to turn 30 here soon, okay? He did... you know, a ton of work this past season. I mean, won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think it was leading in touchdowns and receiving yards, maybe receptions too. I forgot exactly what it was. But, like, the thing about it is you have three, maybe 4 years younger than him. So it's like you're looking at it and saying, this guy is young. If you can sign him for a seven-year deal, you know, worth this amount of money, you know the price is going to go up eventually. But if you can get in for a decent deal right now that's going to save you from breaking the bank and also giving him what he's worth, which is, I mean, because the problem is I see this team going out there and signing him for like $33 million a year, which is going to be ridiculous because he's not better than Davante Adams. I'm just saying that right now. Davante Adams has been proven year in and year out. Yeah, he had Aaron Rodgers, but this guy was a monster his rookie year. It was crazy. Right. So you're looking at it and saying, He's better than a DJ Moore, I think. He's more reliable than a AJ Brown. He's right in that wheelhouse that we just talked about. And if you can get him in between DJ Moore and Stephon Diggs, that's going to be perfect. And I think he should be happy with that because, first of all, $20 plus million is a lot of money.
Yeah.
But also for the sole fact that in today's age, yeah, salary cap keeps going up, but you need to make sure you have money for other players. And right now, yeah, if Carson stays there, if he doesn't stay there, depending on what happens this year, they might have some more cap space, but at the same time, it's like I do take offense to certain guys that take a ton of money that are like, oh, I want to be the top paid guy because I want to make this, I want to make that. Like, that's fine, but you go out there and you do your thing. What does a team do? Go 3-13 or 3-14
yeah,
nowadays? Like,
matter,
you got to make sure that you actually, if you want to have a team aspect, if you care about anybody but yourself, you got to go out there and have a team friendly deal that actually makes sense for you. Know that you're not the best player at your position. Know that you're not worth $33 million, even though your ego might be huge. I'm not saying that's Terry McLaurin, but what I'm saying is I think he's the type of player, which we've seen year in and year out, that could give you that team-friendly deal, but also make sure that he gets the money that he deserves.
And the nice thing with Terry is he at least how it seems the past few years, is there really hasn't been a lot of drama with Terry. You know, like he's not one of those guys that's going to be talking to the media saying outlandish things or going at ownership or whatever. Like, he's a pretty quiet guy, and just goes about his business and does obviously a tremendous job. So top 10 wide receiver, he deserves top 10 money. But like you said, it's not not 30 something money. I mean, again, 20, 21, something in that range, I think makes total sense. I'm with you 100% there. So we'll see what happens there. We're going to move into our off-season topic here as we welcome in the experts, which is what Mike and I are. This is we're food experts, as you guys who've listened to the show know, and that means our word is fact at this point. We know everything there is to know about food, and we will show that off again yet today as we will give you the top five foods for the rest of your life. Everyone knows this scenario. They've been asked this question a million times. Sometimes it's one of those awkward first date questions where you're like, if you could only eat one food for the rest of your life, what would
it
be?
Who are you taking to dinner? You know, stuff like that.
Or like, what three people, dead or alive, could you take down to dinner? It's one of those types of questions.
By the way, why do people always say in that situation, why do they always say, oh, I'd pick George Washington? Why the hell would you pick George Washington?
That's a boring guy. Yeah, you don't
want to. Come on. Pick someone like, you know, like John Daly.
Yeah,
like, pick some
John
stores.
That would be great. No, we should do that. We should do that.
Yeah.
Like, maybe one of the segments we'll do this summer. We'll do a dinner table.
That's right.
Dinner meal. Yeah, we'll do that. Either a draft or a different version of it. But so what we're going to be doing today is we are going to be putting together the definitive top five favorite foods before you die, or one food the rest of your life, however you want to phrase it. Actually, that is the distinction. The distinction is you can only eat one food for the rest of your life, and this is it. Now, I did pull a list from Ranker.com that can kind of get the party started a little bit, because it does have some rankings, because anybody can go and just click up or down on these, and it forms the rankings. But we're going to put together the definitive five, top five. So we'll start with their list, though. At the number one slot here, they have pizza. They have pizza at number one, which I feel like will be in our top five. I feel like pizza, it's one of those foods where it's like, I mean, it's good for any meal. I mean, you eat pizza in the morning, like the next morning after a night drinking, you got leftover pizza in the fridge. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it tastes good cold, like first thing in the morning or whatever. You've got, you know, obviously for lunch, for dinner, of course. One of my favorite times to eat pizza was always drunk in college. You order Domino's or Papa John's or whatever.
Yep. I remember 5-5-5 deal.
There were so many times where we were just drunk out of our minds, and we would call Domino's, and then like halfway through calling, like being on the phone with them, like forgetting that we were even on the phone with them, and we would just continue what we were doing. And then you hear a guy on the other end, like hello, like what? Where am I? I remember one of the biggest tragedies
who
of my
is this?
Life happened once where I ordered pizza online. I waited for like 2 hours. It never came. Then I called the place, and they were like, and apparently I had entered in my phone number wrong on the online thing. And so they'd been calling a different number, and they'd been waiting outside to give a pizza, and then they just turned back around. I almost cried at that moment. So pizza means a lot to a lot of people. I think I'm not going to say where we're going to put it yet, but I think pizza has got to be in our top five. Would you agree?
I would agree. The only knock I have on pizza in general, and I'm not going to get too into this, is the sole fact that if you get specialty pizza, that is when all of a sudden it becomes bad when it gets cold.
Sure.
Like you can't reheat, a wood-fired pizza that's kind of thin and stuff like that. Because then when it gets cold, it's like, I mean, I got a margarita pizza one time. And it was it's beautiful when it comes out and everything like that. But then all of a sudden you put it in the fridge and then you take it out the next day and it's like, it's hard to break off to one another.
The tomatoes get really like thick and hard too.
Well, I don't do the tomato bit. I'm not a big tomato guy. Okay. But I'm talking about like the margarita pizza that has the basil and the mozzarella on there and stuff like that. But like that kind of stuff when it's thin and all that kind of stuff, it's like Domino's or Papa John's, okay, sure, I can eat that cold, whatever. But when it's like a specialty pizza from a nice oven and different things like that, a wood fire, they're throwing sticks in there and stuff like that's when it comes a little bit bad.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I would say pizza will definitely be in there.
All right, so for number two on their list, they have, and again, this is foods that you can only eat this food the rest of your life. Number two on the list, they have Chinese food. Now, this could be interesting because Chinese food is so broad. Where it's like, I feel like that means that you could try different things from the Chinese food menu in a way. Where it's like you could have one night you could have sweet and sour chicken, the other night you could have, you know,
crispy beef or whatever. I mean, you could like mix it up, but it has to be Chinese food. That's the only thing that I think could possibly work with this. But I, for me, Chinese food is always one of those things where I almost never eat it until there's a weekend where, like, let's say my wife's out of town or something and I'm here by myself. It's like, right. I just order a bunch of Chinese food and then you just kind of eat that through that the whole weekend or whatever. I mean, yeah. Besides that, I mean, Chinese food is not really a go-to for me, you know?
Yeah, Chinese food is definitely. Now, I don't know if we want to put a stipulation on this of how we're actually going to rank these because of the sole fact that, like you said, Chinese food, it's a very big umbrella. Very, very, very big umbrella to the point where when you say pizza, what kind of pizza are we talking about? We were talking about regular cheese. We're talking about meat lovers. We're talking about whatever. So it's like when it comes down to that, I think that we should just use the umbrella under this.
I agree. Like, you have to have pizza, for example, but you don't have to just have cheese pizza every meal. You could mix it up, pepperoni, meat lovers, whatever, but it has to be pizza.
Yeah. So I agree though. Chinese food is not a go-to. It's more so like a, Like you said, like, you know, I'm kind of lazy right now and pizza is going to take too long. Let me get Chinese food so they can whip it up here in 5-10 minutes and then they deliver it or whatever. I think it's all right, but it's not.
I'd leave it out of our top five for sure. Next up is burgers. Now, specifically cheeseburgers on this list. Now, this one's this one has a chance, I feel like, because, and it's funny, I don't really even get burgers that often. You know, like, I like chicken sandwiches more. I like tenders, nuggets, all of those. I don't really get a big, you know, a burger that often, but I love burgers. Like, I could eat, I don't know, but that's the problem is, Mike, I don't know if I want to put this in our top five.
It's tough because you look at going to a restaurant. Picture this. You go to a restaurant and you look at their menu and you're like, you know, it's like going to Outback and saying, oh, can I get the cheeseburger, please? It's like you go to Outback, a steakhouse, to get a steak. Right. You go to a steakhouse to get a baked potato and something else. Or you don't go to a regular restaurant and say, my first thought is getting a cheeseburger. Because that's the difference, is that a lot of the fast food restaurants and a lot of the Chipotle Five Guys type restaurants, like the In-N-Outs type things.
Yeah.
Not the In-N-Out restaurant, but you know what I'm talking about. Like those quick ones are mainly burgers because they corner that market. You know, McDonald's, Burger King, Five Guys, you know, you have Sonic, you have all these different places that Roy Rogers, they always have burgers. They always have burgers because burgers is easy to make, and it's not like you go to, like I said, a restaurant and say, I want the cheeseburger, please. Like, because it's not like a fancy food. It's more so like we said before, barbecue food. Something. Oh, let me go whip on the grill and throw some burgers on. You know, like it's more something like that. You know, it's not like let me sit down and enjoy this nice pizza or enjoy this. Burgers. It's like a classic thing that you can easily make in a matter of 5 minutes.
Yeah, and and you could do different things with it. I mean, you could do like a breakfast burger where you're making a burger, but you throw some eggs on there and bacon. And I mean, there's a lot of different things you could do with it. I'd say it's a maybe right now, probably in our
it's on the cusp.
It's on the cusp. So I'm going to bounce around a little bit and I'm going to throw some at you that, you know, are further down on the list, but I want to curious if you think mac and cheese is one that I feel like could be potentially in the five. I feel like mac and cheese is one of those things where it's like, whether it's in the box or it's like you're at a restaurant and it's like a nice side of mac and cheese or whatever, I feel like I've never been let down by mac and cheese. Like, I've never really had, even the worst mac and cheese is still pretty good, you know? Like, like that Potbelly's like 1045 mac and cheese where you know it's like leftover from the previous day and it's disgusting. Yeah. It's like, I still like it, man. I still get it. And it's like, I'll eat it. I mean, it's just melted cheese and like pasta shells. It's not. And then there's the ones that really elevate it, where you get the mac and cheese where it's got like different stuff in it, like you throw meat in there or hot sauce in there or whatever, buffalo chicken mac, I mean, all that sort of stuff. So I feel like mac and cheese might be in the running here.
Yeah, if you want to leave it as mac and cheese for the umbrella and then have toppings and stuff like that in there, okay, 100%. Yeah. 100% I would put it in there.
Yeah.
The only problem that is mac and cheese with just like, say, condiments, like hot sauce and stuff like that, that would be a kind of thing for me, because it's like cheese noodle. It's like, okay, it's great. Don't get me wrong, but for the rest of my life, you know, it's like
breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Just mac and cheese.
Yeah, it's we'll something
say,
that
we'll,
I'd
we'll
be.
We'll say, because it's our game, we'll say you can throw in some different toppings here and there. Like, you can throw in some meats or things like that. Like, yeah, whatever, you know, to mix
small
it
things
up a bit.
Small things.
The majority
small
of
additives,
the meal.
Additives.
Exactly,
additives.
But the majority of the meal has to be the mac and cheese, for sure. So we'll definitely put there. What do you think about tacos?
Tacos? Because
there's so many different types of tacos, you know.
Right, right.
Breakfast tacos, all that stuff.
I'd be more in favor of burritos. I do love burritos more.
Let's put burritos in there.
So burritos, burritos, it's like literally, it's a lot less messy, and it's also, you could pack so much into a burrito and then wrap it. When
you
a taco,
make,
you
call anything a burrito, really.
Food is in
the tortilla.
I'm not going to lie. Literally over the last year and a half, I usually get a tortilla or something like that. I have these bigger bowls. I put the tortilla down, and whatever I make for dinner, I just throw it in the tortilla. Yeah. And at the very end of the meal, after I'm done eating out of the tortilla, I just make the tortilla into a burrito and eat the rest.
It's
glorious. It's great.
That's why you're an expert here. I think burritos have to be in there because, breakfast burritos are classic. And then, like, lunch and dinner, you can mix it up. Like, lunch, if you want to keep it a little bit lighter, you can have, like,
steak,
you know,
chicken,
lettuce in there, whatever, like, with your meat. And then, like, dinner, you could really pack it out. I used to be strictly a bowl guy at Chipotle, and I've been a burrito guy now for 3 months.
I got a bone to pick with Chipotle.
Well, yeah, trust me. I was a fan of a long time. They've kind of gone downhill a little bit for me. But I was a burrito bowl guy for, like, 5 straight years, every single Friday. And now I've switched over. I am a burrito guy now.
Ooh, turn to the dark side. Okay,
fully
Anakin.
Burrito guy.
Hey, what about spaghetti?
This is interesting because I wonder if we can get away with the pasta umbrella, where you can mix it up with, like, fettuccine alfredo, spaghetti, but it has to be a pasta dish, or if we have to just go straight up spaghetti.
I would say it has to be spaghetti. We'll say spaghetti and meatballs with an additive of whatever sauce you like. But obviously more so it's going to be like meat sauce, stuff like that.
Right, right.
But because fettuccine, because you can call it like fettuccine alfredo and stuff like that, but that's not spaghetti. Spaghetti is more so the spherical noodles.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the hell you would call them. Like angel hair pasta, stuff like that. But it's like
I
fettuccine
do love
is all over
spaghetti, man. I mean, when I was a really picky eater back in the day, like, I swear, like, I would have spaghetti, like, every day. Like, it was literally just all I ate for so long.
I got a funny story. So I was over at my buddy's house the other day, and apparently his kids are semi-picky, and he opened up his pantry, and I looked over there, and I was like, I've never seen so much pasta in my life. There was literally at least 12 boxes of pasta.
That's hilarious.
And I looked, I said, dude, you got enough pasta in there? And he's like, "That's my kids love it." And I'm like, all right, whatever floats your boat, man.
I mean,
boil up that water.
Lucy, she'll eat anything that has, like, bread and cheese. So, like, grilled cheese, quesadilla, pizza. She's into it. And then chicken nuggets. I mean, almost every night. It's almost every night is chicken nuggets. I got bags and bags of frozen nuggets in the fridge, in the freezer. Kids, man. Because that's the thing. When you have kids, it's like, if you find something that they like to eat, you're like, all right, well, I'm just going to give you this for, like, every meal. Because I know you're going to be happy with it.
Oh, I'd throw this in the oven? That's all I have to do?
I think spaghetti... I'm fine with this because, like I said, I was a spaghetti head back in the day. I was eating spaghetti left and right. And even to this day, like, you go to a really good Italian restaurant, I'm telling you, like, you'd think it's like low brow or something, but you go into a really good Italian restaurant and you get spaghetti, like, sometimes it's the best thing that they make there. Like, because it's homemade noodles and they do all that stuff. It's like spaghetti. And I've had spaghetti at, like, 9 in the morning before, for sure.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Sure. I mean, there's some mornings where you go in the fridge and you're like, man, I don't have anything breakfast-wise, but I do have this leftover spaghetti. I'm just going to throw it in a bowl, throw some Parm cheese on it, and eat it at 9 o'clock a.m., man.
I'm not going to say that I have not in my life, quote-unquote, boiled up pasta at, like, 10 a.m. because I had nothing else in my fridge or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sat there and ate a bowl of pasta at, like, noon.
There was a time in high school where almost every single day after high school, getting home at, like, 3 o'clock or whatever, I would go and boil up, like, a whole box of spaghetti and just sit there and eat it at, like, 3 p.m. My parents would get home and be like, all right, we're making dinner. I'd be like, I'm full. I'm good.
I'm fine. Don't worry about me.
3 bowls of spaghetti. So I think we have a really solid 4 right now. Now the real question is going to be, so right now we have pizza, mac and cheese, burritos, and spaghetti. with burgers kind of on the honorable mentions side of things. We have
I got to write these down.
Yeah, yeah. I got it typed up, too. Pizza, mac and cheese, burritos, and spaghetti. We have to now figure out who occupies the fifth spot in the list here. And I think there's a couple different ways you can go with this. And I'm going to throw just some options at you and see what you think here.
Hit me.
So there's like, you could say like chicken tenders / nuggets. You could say like that realm. You could go chicken sandwiches, like as a whole, like the actual sandwiches like Woo Boy or even just regular, like, you know, chicken sandwiches. Okay. You could go fried chicken, like we're talking, you know, drumsticks and things like that. You could go grilled cheese is on the list for sure. You could go peanut butter and jelly is an interesting one for me because I could eat. I mean, peanut butter and jelly is always one of those things where it's like, yeah, I could eat a PB&J. Like, I would never not eat a peanut butter and jelly if it was put in front of me. Now, would I want to eat it every day for the rest of my life? I don't know. And then there's like, you could think like steaks. If you had a steak for every meal, I mean, you would die very quickly because I feel like your heart can't take that much red meat.
Right.
And then another one that kind of hit me is like breakfast food, like pancakes. I mean, I love pancakes.
Right.
But could I eat them for every meal? I don't know. This is tough trying to figure out who occupies the fifth spot here.
You know, the one that's popping out to me the most, I think, would have to be grilled cheese. Because grilled cheese, you think about it this way. I love cheese.
Oh, yeah.
And if you can make any type of cheese, it has to be a grilled cheese centric. Mm-hmm. But you could use any type of cheese. You could throw pepper jack in there. You could throw cheddar.
Oh, yeah.
You could throw
Munster.
Munster. You know, and it's just like
provolone.
What else?
So my homemade grilled cheese.
American.
So here's what you do. I'm going to give you a quick tutorial on the best homemade grilled cheese here.
All right.
So here's what you do. First off, you want to buy sourdough bread. Sourdough bread makes the best grilled cheese. You buy sourdough bread, and then what you do is you butter both sides of the bread. Both sides of the bread.
Yep.
And you put a little bit of butter in the pan as well. And then you put the bread down in the pan, let it start, you know, sizzling and things like that. You lay two types of cheese. I go cheddar and I go provolone, and I give a slice of each. Well, I usually go cheddar, provolone, cheddar. I kind of put the provolone in the middle. And then you butter both sides of the other piece of bread. You put that on top. You push it down with your hand. Let it really get in there. Get that one side. Kind of make sure the cheese is melting. You flip it, all that stuff. I'm telling you, man, I love a good grilled cheese. And like you said, you can mix it up with different cheeses. You could throw bacon in there. You could throw
ham
in there. Oh, yeah. Make a nice little ham and cheese action. And I feel like of all the sandwiches, even though I will say I would put PB&J as an honorable mention. But yeah, I think a grilled cheese might
Everyone
be
loves
it.
Cheese. Everyone loves cheese. And like you said, you can switch it up with the different types of cheeses, the additives in there, like we said, ham slices or bacon or something else. You know, you're just looking at it and saying, man, this is great. My gram used to always make the best grilled cheese in the world, where she would literally, like you said, butter both sides of the bread, put some butter in the pan, melt the cheeses, put a little extra cheese in there. I mean, it was phenomenal. And that's the biggest thing. Have you ever had Spam?
So I haven't, but I'm sure it's good. I mean,
so Spam. So when I was in college, she sent me this gift box or whatever. Not really a gift box, like a to-go box or whatever. Gave me two cans of Spam. One time, like we were saying, I was a Nubs college kid, and I was sitting there, didn't have anything in my fridge, didn't want to go out and get anything. And I said, well, I got these two cans of Spam. Called my grandma up, said, how do I make this stuff? Like an alien.
Right.
And she said, literally turn on a pan, spray some Pam in there just so it gets, or put some butter in there, whatever. Put the Spam, cut it in slices because it comes in a big block.
Right, right.
Cut it in slices, throw it in there, brown it on one side, turn it over, brown it on the other, put it in a sandwich. It's very good.
I mean, I've heard good things.
Dude,
it's a big thing in
Hawaii. You gotta try it, man.
Hawaiians love Spam.
It is good.
And
it is good.
With the grilled cheese, one other quick note is what you want to do is you also want to sprinkle a little bit of shredded cheese on the outside of the bread.
Oh,
so it
kind
of melts
little
into
crunch,
the outside.
Little
crunch. Not a bad thing. All right, grilled cheese. That's it.
That's it. We're here to convince ourselves.
So we have, again, this is the definitive list. This is any other list you find online. Doesn't matter. Looks like somebody put fruit on this list and salads. So you're going to be eating a salad for somebody
vegans.
Just also, I really like that somebody just put bread on the list. Like, nothing else with it. You're just literally
eat
having
a baguette.
It's a baguette every single meal. It would be pretty incredible. Ice cream is on this list as well. It's like, man, you get so sick of ice cream though. I mean, that's the whole thing they say. Like, my mom used to work in an ice cream shop and she said, like, on your first day, they let you eat as much ice cream as you want from any. you know, when you're there. And then, like, after you do that, you're like, I don't want to steal any ice cream because I'm so sick of it. So the definitive list is pizza, mac and cheese, burritos, spaghetti, and grilled cheese. These are the five foods. If you could only eat one food for the rest of the life, rest of your life, it would be one of those foods.
I just ranked mine, by the way.
Oh, yeah, it's true. I'd be interested to know your rankings of those five.
Okay, so out of those five.
Yeah.
So you can do it, too. Out of those five, my number one is spaghetti. I love me some spaghetti.
Okay.
Okay, because if you got some spaghetti, maybe a couple meatballs on there, some meat sauce, dump a truckload of Parmesan cheese on that thing because it makes it so much better. Unbelievable. Great, great. Love it.
Are you one of those guys, and this is what I do, is we're like, I need the Parmesan thing right by my bowl because I know I put some at the top at the beginning, but I'm refilling it almost after every bite. I'm putting more cheese on there.
So here's the ticket. What I do is I scoop it in. I make one scoop and then maybe another smaller scoop, Parmesan cheese on it. Then I put one more scoop, maybe another small scoop, Parmesan cheese on it, and then I put the sauce on top, and then I mix
it
in
layering,
the sauce.
Layering.
Yep. I got a layer. It's like a layered cake.
Like a cake, spaghetti. Yeah.
And then my second one is the za. I love me some pizza. Obviously, that's the number one on here, but I think pizza, like I said, the knock on it, spaghetti, you can eat it pretty much cold, stuff like that, different things like that. Pizza, you can too, but the specialty pizza, it's a knock for me. Number three, grilled cheese, like we just talked about. That's going up the list, apparently. And then four, some mac. Five, the burritos.
I can't even really argue with that ranking. I mean, I could see myself with those rankings too, in that order, honestly. Like,
yep.
Yeah, I'm with it. And again, I almost was this. I almost ate spaghetti every meal back in the day. So, yeah, I could definitely be down with this.
It's so good, though. It's just so, because there's so many different varieties under that spaghetti and meatball umbrella that you could do. Like we said, you could put Parmesan cheese on there. You could put meat sauce in there. You can go straight. You can go Alfredo sauce if you want to get wild. Then they had vodka sauce that as well. I mean, there's so many different things you can do. And then it's just spaghetti. And spaghetti is just so good to the point where it's like you're not sitting there stuffing your face full of bread. Yeah, it's carbs. But at the same time, like when you think about it, if you sit there and stuff your face full for a whole entire pie of pizza, you know, like me and you can do in like 10 seconds,
easily.
You know, at the end, you're like, I just ate a whole entire box of pizza. You don't think about that with pasta. You're like, man, I'm bloated right now. But then all of a sudden, the next morning, you're like, I'm feeling pretty good.
I'm ready to run a marathon. Yeah, that's what you do. That's what you do.
So Michael Scott did.
We'll move on. Yeah, that's so funny. We're going to move on to the Sultan of Seltzers.
Ooh. Ooh, got some new music.
Sultan of Seltzer reviews. As the Sultan is entering the building here. Again, this is where Mike the Sultan gives his, Cerrone the Sultan gives his reviews of various seltzers here. Previous seltzer ratings, you had Three Birds Hard Seltzer Mango Lemonade, 7.6 out of 10. Smirnoff Pink Lemonade, 7.4 out of 10. Truly Kiwi Mojito Style Poolside Pack, 6.9 out of 10. We'll head into our fourth rating here as I welcome in the Sultan.
The Sultan is here. Hello, everybody. I don't know how to say hello in any other language.
You don't want to.
Personally.
You don't want to put an accent on that. Not in 2022. That's for sure.
All right, here. So I tried to wear a shirt that matched the can.
Oh, you
this
did?
Is
yeah.
Truly, I didn't do that on purpose, by the way.
Okay.
Truly, I'm not that smart. Classic lime margarita style.
Truly,
so we're going with
classic lime.
Yep.
Margarita style.
Okay. So I tried to go a little classy in this one by going with the classic. And this is another limited edition or a new edition. So it's pretty nice. I tried to go with the lime because lime is like one of the most common seltzers you can find.
Sure.
I was going to go with I think it was called chili or Chilean or something like that. Mango, but I'm trying to save that for another day because mango is like our go-to.
Right.
So
I love mango.
Truly classic lime, margarita style, hard seltzer, can. I love these cans.
Solid can.
Truly is just on point with their colors, vibrant, everything you want to say. And they got a nice little black tab on here,
right,
which makes it even like, it doesn't clash at all. It makes it look nice. It's better than the silver
one.
It's
a great
can. Lame.
It's a great can. I'm completely with you. So the Sultan is going to be taking some sips here. Again, Truly tends to knock it out of the park when it comes to the seltzer game. Now, the Kiwi did not do great last week. Again, 6.9 out of 10.
Yeah, yeah. But that was the poolside pack. So this is a little bit. This is the margarita style pack.
This is margarita style pack here.
They're just loading everybody with seltzers nowadays.
Right.
So by the way, this is 5.3% alcohol. Okay. Usually they're 5.5-0.
Right.
So that's nice. So it's a little bit more bang for your buck. The initial taste, pretty good. Pretty good initial taste.
Okay. Yeah, you got to go back.
Lime isn't my favorite, no. But it's still pretty good.
I like lemon lime, like a good old Sprite, but...
Kind of reminds me of a Sprite, Mountain Dew type thing.
Okay.
Seven but Up, it, Mountain Dew. But it does have that hint of alcohol, which you can't taste, which you should.
It always hits your head first. That's where I always feel it.
Alrighty. So, and there's no deceiving thing, kind of like Mike's Hard lemonade freezes, which we'll go to another day.
Yeah.
I think I'm ready for the review.
Right. Oh, I guess I got to do the drum roll here. Let me go back to this other part of my soundboard. All right.
Sorry, I got a little ahead of myself there.
Ready for the drum roll here. Truly classic lime, margarita style.
Truly classic lime, margarita style, beautiful green can, is an 8.2.
Wow.
8.2.
Wow.
Tell you, truly hit this one out of the park. I'm not going to lie. I did try some of the other ones in this pack.
Probably quite a few.
Beautiful, beautiful pack. Much better than the poolside pack. So they're back in my good gracious.
Wow.
And I'm telling you right now, 8.2. Great score.
Truly classic lime margarita style. The crowd loved that. I mean,
you were on point when you said it tastes like a Sprite with a hint of alcohol. That's exactly what it tastes like.
Wow.
Exactly.
The Sultan of Seltzer has spoken. Go out and get yourself. I mean, Truly should be sponsoring the show. Let's be honest. Truly classic lime margarita style pack. Go get it for the summer. I mean, hey, July 4th is coming up. You want to be the hero of the party. Show up with one of those packs.
Yeah.
And you're going to be the hero of the July 4th party. That's for sure. Because I got to get I'll probably get myself a pack this weekend, actually.
I think it's in a baby blue box, I think, maybe. Okay. But it's margarita style. So it's that box. But I'm telling you right now.
I'll get the pack this weekend.
I swear. It tastes like a, I mean, it looks like a Sprite. Let's be honest here. But it's. I also do like the wording. It's in white, and the colors just are flowing, man. And it's just like that's the biggest thing is the peel is a big thing. You don't want some nubs of peel,
right? Right.
But then, like you said, you hit it right on. I couldn't even come up with something like that. And I'm the Sultan. They literally this one tastes literally like a Sprite with that hint of alcohol, which you know when you get that little hint of alcohol, but it still tastes good. You're like, man, I'm gonna have a good time.
It's like
tonight.
A really well mixed vodka Sprite, probably where it has that. It has the alcohol in it, but you don't necessarily taste it as much, like little hints of it, but Sprite heavy. Yeah. That's why I love vodka Sprites for sure.
But you know it's going to be good. It's going to be having a good night because you're like, I could drink like a million of these things, and it's 5.3% alcohol. So it's even more percent alcohol than a Budweiser. And Budweiser tastes like butt. So it's like,
yeah, that's true.
So does. Let's be honest here.
Let's hit up the final lap, a chance to give to go over some bigger stories in sports. 90 seconds on the clock. Here we go. Fun weekend of College World Series. I watched a bunch of these games, and one of the biggest one, of course, was Notre Dame knocking off the top team in the country, Tennessee baseball, to advance to the College World Series. This was nuts.
All I care about is Tech, and I still don't care about them that much in a sense, so you know more than me.
I watched some of Tech this weekend, too. Aaron Judge hits his 23rd and 24th home run of the season. I looked this up the other day. He is... not that far behind Barry Bonds' pace at this stage of the season when Barry went for 72 or whatever. Kind of pretty impressive to see this many home runs right now without the steroids.
Yeah, exactly. It's not that it's pretty impressive, but, I mean, it's just kind of crazy because I don't think anything is going to live up to the Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire years. Like, that was just like every night was tune-in baseball. I don't think anyone really cares about Aaron Judge possibly getting on the pace, but still, pretty impressive.
Yeah, without the steroids, that's a big thing. Lightning and Avalanche for the Cup. This might be one of the best matchups we've seen. You got the Avalanche, who have just been running rampant on the Western side, and then you got the Lightning going for a three-peat. A lot of great storylines for this year's Cup.
It's nice to see Colorado in there because everyone knows Colorado's history, and everyone also thinks that Colorado is like one of the premier hockey teams. Like, their name is the Avalanche, for goodness sake.
Right.
It's not like they're the Sunflowers. Like, let's be honest here. It's like Avalanche just screams hockey. That's all I can say.
And then the Celtics and Warriors all tied up at two games apiece.
Yep.
Obviously, a huge game 5 tonight as we record this. I mean, at this point, it would be great if this thing went seven, but I think who wins game five might win the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great series so far. It, like we talked about before, the last couple weeks or whatever, this series is kind of like a weird type of matchup because both teams don't really have a true and premier big man. It's a lot of shooting. It's a lot of ISOs, different things like that. So it's going to be kind of crazy. You know, I'm not too invested in it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, same.
But at the same time, it's pretty cool to see it be this close.
It's tough. It's always tough for the sports where you just don't have a dog in the fight when it comes to playoff times. And it's like, you know, NBA is one of those sports where, yeah, you can still get some good entertainment value, even if it's not your team, because those games are pretty entertaining. Obviously, in the NFL, like, it doesn't matter if the Commanders are playing or not. Like, you're going to watch NFL playoffs because they're just one-off games. And so like, they're a lot there. Baseball, I could see why people wouldn't want to stick around and watch 4 hours of a team that they don't care about. I mean, I definitely skip all the West Coast games, of course, for baseball and things like that. I'll usually tune into some of the American League series and that sort of stuff. But yeah, I'm with you. I'm not super invested. Am I going to be celebrating if the Celtics win or celebrating if the Warriors win? No. It doesn't really matter to me. I love Draymond Green. It'd be great for me if he got another ring. If he doesn't, I'm not going to cry about it.
Yeah, let's be honest here.
Let us move now into the trivia, as we do every week. DC sports trivia, as well as a Detroit sports question in the mix, just to keep me involved from a trivia host standpoint, as I will give Mike a Detroit trivia sports question here. We'll start with mine here. Upon his retirement in 2013, what Lions kicker held the NFL record for the most games played for a single team with 327?
Say it one more time.
Sure. Upon his retirement in 2013, what Lions kicker held the NFL record for the most games played for a single team with 327 games? Longtime Lions kicker. Retired in 2013, almost 10 years ago.
See, that's what's tripping
me up. I miss him every day.
That's what's tripping me up because I want to say Matt Prater, but Matt Prater's not it.
Right.
Matt Prater, he went on to play with the Broncos, I think.
Yeah, this guy's 51 now, and he spent 21 years with the Detroit Lions.
Gosh.
Got drafted in 1992. I was born.
I was one.
Wow. Gosh, so I lived for 21 years of my life with this guy as the only kicker of the team. It's kind of crazy.
Man, I want to say Martin Gramatica, but I don't think that's it either.
Nope.
Can you give me the initials?
Sure. J.H.
Well, that sucks.
Two-time Pro Bowl, second team All-Pro.
That stuff's not going to help me.
I know. Born in Spokane, Washington.
Oh, that one's going to help me a lot.
Yeah. He played at Washington State University.
Why am I blanking on this guy's name?
Well, in mind you're being asked a Detroit sports question, and you're
I still know some.
You'll know this name for sure. Like when
I want to say it's John something.
It's not John something. It's Jason Hansen.
I figured the last name is very familiar. That was on the tip of my tongue.
Hansen, because I'm sure you saw it on jerseys and stuff. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy to think about it, that he was literally on this team for 21 years.
Did you guys have Gramatica at one point?
I think so, yeah. I think that's where he got that
from. Briefly, because he was, I think he went to like the Bucks.
And then you're right, Prater was on this team too for a couple years, but yeah.
I thought Prater was on the team for like 5 or 6 seasons.
I thought he bounced around a bit.
Because I know he was on the Broncos. Anyway, I just know that he was on
the Lions. Oh, no, you're right. He was on the Lions for a decent amount. Five seasons or so.
Yeah. I thought it was. I was like, he wasn't retired.
In the 2020, he left the Lions. So.
Right.
But yeah, Jason Hansen. Yeah, I mean, for my entire childhood, it was like, I thought every team only had one kicker for like 20 years. Like, I thought that's just what it is. Like, this is your kicker now. Because kickers can play forever. I mean, as long as you don't get knocked up and get hit, you know, you can kick in the NFL for 20 years. Now, obviously, like, once you start missing a couple, then it's like, all right, you're done. Like, they're going to throw you out. So as long as you're somewhat consistent, you can last a long time. I mean,
well, look at Vinatieri.
Yeah, exactly. Vinatieri.
Janikowski.
Yeah, Janikowski. Yeah, a lot of those guys. I mean, it's not a bad life, man. If I ever have a boy, I'm going to be like, all right, man, we're taking you to the backyard. We're starting to practice right now. You're kicking field goals.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. I think you should be a punter instead. Because if you think about it this way. If you're a guy like a Roberto Aguayo, okay, if you're that guy and have so much pressure on you to beat, you're the number one ever NCAA kicker, and you get basically drafted in like the third round or something like that, and then all of a sudden you get cut.
Yeah,
it's like there's so much pressure when it comes to that. Punting, people shank punts and they forget about it 30 seconds later.
Yeah.
They're like, man, that punt sucked. And then all of a sudden they're like, all right, first down on defense. Like, it's like they don't think about it. Like kicking, you know, you look at whatever that guy's name is, I'm blanking for the Bears, who literally sat there and missed a field goal for them to win a playoff game.
Santos?
Like, yeah, it might have been Santos, who literally missed a 35-yard field goal that was literally at home, too, and they lost a playoff game or something like that because of it, like an easy chip-in. That's the thing. There's so much criticism when it comes to
Cody
Parkey.
Parkey. That's right. Santos is their kicker now. No, Parkey. Cody Parkey. Yeah. The double doink. Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
And everyone sits there and ridicules you because, oh, man, a chip shot. I could do that. You know, it's like everyone says it's a chip shot.
True.
But then when you get there. But then the punter, it's like I said, you shank one. It's like, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, it sucks. But, you know, you could be a Mark. Was it his name? Marquise King? I think that's his name. Maybe I'm thinking of a different guy. Trying to think of it. There's a guy in Pittsburgh's not King. King was in the Raiders. They goes out there and like Tressway. He goes out there and
Tressway,
kicks
yeah.
50 yards every time and has a job every single year and just does his duties.
He has to hold. He holds for Sly and then he kicks his punt. So yeah, it's not a bad way. It's not a bad way to live. It's not. I mean yeah. He's third. Tressway's 32.
Yeah.
He's been in the league a long time. I mean, yeah, you don't make a ton of money, but you make more than you would working in an office. That's for sure.
Yep. Make more money than me.
Yeah, right. So.
And by the way, I saw a TikTok the other day of this PE teacher, and he's like, he was like, oh, this is what PE teachers do or something like that. And like this guy's like, can I have the ball, Mr. blah, blah, blah? And he was like, yeah, here you go. And he tosses up in the air. He has another ball in his hand. Just pegs him at the start.
I've seen that guy. Does he have like glasses? And he's
yeah.
Kind of older?
Yeah. Him,
for sure.
Oh, that makes me feel like I'm good at sports.
Right.
All right, here we go. So this card is literally all Redskins questions.
Great.
Great. So here we go. This is probably the easiest one that I think that you could probably get.
Yeah.
After signing a monster free agent contract with the Redskins in 2009, the year I graduated high school, Albert Haynesworth lasted only two seasons in Washington before being traded to what AFC team?
I was thinking that would be what this question was. I was thinking it was going to be like, who did he get traded to?
Oh, yeah. I was like, wait a second. You knew this question?
No. I just mean like it had to be that.
Do you know the team that he was with before?
Before, wasn't he with I'm thinking like it was like a red jersey. No.
They had some red in it, but very, very minimal.
Sure. I don't know who he was with.
He was with the Titans. He was with the Titans.
Okay. So I'll tell you the teams that are kind of calling to me for this Haynesworth thing is.
Call it.
The Dolphins were kind of calling to me. But maybe I'm getting confused because maybe I'm thinking of like when Sue went down south to go play for the Bucks. But yeah,
you have a question, remember?
I know, but like that's not gonna. What team is it? I'll just go with my gut. My gut said Dolphins. Dolphins was my guess.
Same division, but incorrect. New England Patriots.
Oh, of course. I mean, you think of a guy bad reputation, where's he going to go? New England. Go get in that Belichick system. Okay.
There you go.
Okay. That is your DC trivia question. And again, you can play along at home. And
check out the TikToks.
The show is, I mean, the questions are, I mean, yeah, Mike and I are asking each other, but it's really for you, the audience, to have fun doing the trivia, too. Let's get into Moneyline, sponsored by DraftKings, our picks, as we, again, continue to struggle here in round three of our picks. 12 and 18 for Mike, 11 and 19 for me. It's been rough. It's been rough. But I feel better that you also are doing underneath your usual.
Right.
So it's not just me sucking. It's like, all right, we both stink. but I'm hoping to turn it around. I've been better lately. Like the last like 3 weeks or so, I've been getting worse lately. right. The last 3 weeks, I've been getting like one or both correct. You've been getting like one or none correct.
yep.
I feel like you haven't had a sweep in a while. So this week, my lock, I'm going to go Colorado. I'm going to go the Avalanche. -1.5. I mean, I know obviously Lightning are great. They're going for the three-peat, but I just think the Avalanche, I mean, anytime you can get a sweep in the conference finals, you're like, all right, these guys are pretty damn good.
Right.
So I'm gonna go with the Avalanche here. And then my dog tonight, I'm just gonna go Celtics +3.5. I think this series has kind of been kind of wild, kind of back and forth. You just don't really know what's gonna happen. And I know the Celtics are the dogs heading into the game, but I'll just go Celtics +3.5. Why not?
Not bad at all, obviously. I'm going to try to swerve a little bit and go with the U.S. Open here. JT, Justin Thomas, has been on fire, I would say, as of late. Had a really good finish, obviously, the tournament before here.
Right.
And obviously, he also won the PGA. So he's pretty much finding his iron stroke, which is nice right now. So I'm going to go JT, Justin Thomas, to finish in the top five. Don't know the exact odds for that. I know he's about, I think, 14-1 to win. So my lock would just be JT top five. You can get plus money for that, I'm sure. My dogs, I'm going to go Jason Tatum over 30 points. Hasn't scored 30 points yet, but he's gotten close a couple of times, scored 26 and also 28. But I believe that if somehow the Warriors come out with a game five win, then all of a sudden in game six, which this is for game six, by the way,
right.
I think Jason Tatum's going to have to go off and try to do something spectacular. Because Jaylen Brown, for me, he shoots a lot, but I think Jason Tatum is the best player on that team.
Yeah, he is.
I think he's going to have to go off, and I think that 30 points, he's going to have to elevate his game to score and not have to lean on Al Horford and all these type of guys to go out there and try to win on a game. He has to go out there, put the team on his back, and score over 30 in game six, because I think that the Warriors will win game five. I think game six, he has to go out there and put over 30. You can get plus money for that.
Got to get some live golf bets in here at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
See what those odds are.
They had good viewership, apparently.
I did tune into a little bit because I wanted to check out what the broadcast itself looked like. And I did like, so I'm sure you saw or heard about, like, they have the scoreboard on the left side of the screen just, and it updates, like, automatically. And so, like, you'll see shuffling and guys moving up and down the scoreboard.
It's like a NASCAR scoreboard.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, that was kind of cool. The camera, I mean, cameras all looked fine. I didn't tune in that much. Like, it was like 10 minutes or whatever, but I was just like, okay, yeah, I mean, this.
It's more than I did.
Yeah, right. It was like, yeah, this looks pretty good. So that's all I know. I didn't watch much of it at all.
Did you hear, obviously, the grumblings over the last week? Patrick Reed, Bryson DeChambeau.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're going to go over there. So it's like, before you know it, I bet Ricky's going to go over there. I thought he might already have been. You thought that everyone's been saying that. And the funny thing is that you're looking at it because these bigger names, yeah. Bryson, not a great character guy, supposedly. Patrick Reed, same thing. So you're looking at some of these guys that maybe just want a fresh start and also are bigger names, major winners, stuff like that. So, you know, Charles Schwartzel, he did a really great job in that first tournament. But you're looking at it and just saying, some of these players that are going to go out there and change the tours and switch over and stuff like that, there's been a lot of fight in between a lot of people on social media and stuff like that saying, yeah, you know, oh, they're selling out. They're selling out. Well, sorry, if you had a chance to get $50 million compared to $4 million or something like that, I would think about selling out too.
People need
to think about this. The LIV Tour is basically like moving from this school system to that school system. They have a totally different way that this school system runs. Same thing. I'm using that example because of myself.
Right.
But then this school system might pay a lot more, or this school system might pay a lot less, or whatever it may be. And it's just switching jobs to jobs. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, think about changing from, say, going to the Nats to, you know, the Dodgers, like saying something like that, for instance. The Dodgers have a different motto. They have different owners. The Nats have different owners. So it's just a whole different experience, and this team might be paying you more than this team, but because of the whole entire premise of all the politics and all that kind of stuff going along with that, or world whatever problems, that's what everyone has a fuss about. And that's the problem, is that people aren't looking at it as a business. They're looking at it as a, hey, this is not what aligns with my views. That's the problem that I see is if you want to go get your money, go get your money. I'm not going to sit there and fight you. If you're one of the best golfers in the world and you feel like doing this, go do it. I guess that's your own prerogative.
Sure.
I don't care about your opinions. I don't care about your views, all that kind of stuff. It's a business, and that's what they're doing because the PGA Tour hasn't had any competition in years and years and years.
Yeah.
So that's how I look at it.
And it'll be interesting to see like if this tour sticks around, like if 5 years from now, if we're still going to be seeing people on the LIV Golf Tour. I don't know. We'll just have to get your money while you can, apparently. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we'll have to wait and see. That about does it for episode 116 of the show. Again, we will be back next week with a draft episode for sure.
Ooh.
As we continue the off season. Also, be sure to check out the other podcast that we are producing, Bird's Eye View with Erica McCall. I believe episode 5 drops here this week. Of this season, of the second season, a bunch of episodes to go back and listen to. It's a great show, and we produce that. So definitely go check that out. And then follow us again on Twitter at the DC Crossover, and it's our own 16, and follow the TikTok, DC Crossover Podcast. The TikTok, it's where it's at. Polls, dance videos with Mike.
a bunch
of great stuff on there, so definitely
check it out. Taking my shirt off.
Yeah, he does. So if you want to check out the TikTok, that's what you get to see. Besides that, people, we appreciate you tuning into this episode. We'll be back next week. This is another episode of the DC Crossover.